And we're going to be in Isaiah 40 here, verses 28 to 31, some very well-known passages, very powerful ones. It goes like this. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even young people will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. Word of the Lord.
Thank you, Keith. Let's see. Change, change, and more change. Yeah. We all keep hoping that the change would stop. I get it. You know, routine, regularity, ease. Those are the things that we like. And it's not that we don't like an adventure or two. We do. But this has turned into more of a journey than just an adventure. More of a challenge than, well, we signed up for. But change happens. It's an inevitability in life, isn't it? And it shouldn't surprise us because of what we read in Ecclesiastes. For everything there is a season, a time for any activity under heaven. Activity. All of the activity, all of the change, all of the challenge that we faced, it isn't beyond God's awareness or God's control. Yeah, we live in a sin-marred world. And although God's ultimate will not be thwarted, we do get things like COVID-19. And we get it not only once, but it may very well and is very well here to stay. How do we deal with all of that change? How do we deal with the fact that to live life is to experience and embrace change? Well, number one, we need to remind ourselves that it really is unavoidable. You can't hide from change. We know we can't hide from change because, well, let's see. We've been in our houses for 2 years, and we've changed. All we have to do is look in the mirror, and we see that the time marches on. Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, and that will show up on our faces, on our bodies, on our experiences in life. Now, the truth is, the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. Some change is really not good. It's not beyond redemption in our life, but the fact is it's not good change, it's not positive change. Yet our God is in control, and He knows how to take those difficult, challenging times and use them for good in our life and in the life of other people. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good. And here's kind of the condition of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Now, it's true, we can be way out of sorts with the Lord, and, well, sometimes we pay a price for that. But as we're seeking to live along the path that God has in store for us, we can be assured of one thing, that even though it's bad, God will figure out how to use it as good in our life or in the life of someone else. Why does He do that? Because ultimately He loves us. And His plan for us is good, even though we suffer, we have challenge and difficulty. If life were only an uninterrupted string of victories, yet it's not. We all experience defeat and suffering and pain and tragedy. But we shouldn't put a period where God puts a comma. There's always more to the story. Why? Because God loves us, and even the painful things that happen in our life, even human error, our own sin, God is able to turn that minus into a plus for us. Genesis 50:20. You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God calls us to His path and His will in our life. And God will and does, as we acknowledge Him and seek to live according to His purpose, He will make the way. It doesn't mean we're going to get a life that doesn't have problems and tragedy and suffering, just the opposite. We know that when we walk that road, we don't walk it alone. If we despair, if we're depressed, if we're stressed, we should only be that way for a little while till we recognize that God can and will use these painful things, these mistakes that happen in our life, our sin, that He will use them. Use them in our own life, use them in the life of someone else. God not only works beyond the human error and sinfulness that is ours, but God uses it in a way to bolster and build our Christ-like character. Romans 8:29. For God knew in advance who would come to Him, and He chose them to become like His Son. Now, that's a pretty big order, isn't it? Hi, you're going to be like Jesus. Well, I'm not Jesus. No, you're not going to be Jesus, but you are to be like Jesus. That's what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is really all about. Building our Christ-like character. And isn't it true that today you are doing things that you had never imagined you would do in terms of your character, in terms of the actions of your will? Your closeness to Christ and your interaction with other people, especially those that really bug you, that you just soon avoid in life. The fact that you're doing that, why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is using the challenges of change in your life to develop your Christ-like character. And remember, there's only two things you're going to take with you when you die and go to heaven. You're going to take your relationship with Christ and those that you've helped have a relationship with Christ, and your character. That's right. Living in this world today is how we're developing our character for what we can't imagine. What's bigger and beyond who we are. But we believe in that and we trust in that because of the reality of what we're experiencing today. In this phase, in this moment of life. Yeah, God uses tough times for us to His good. Third, God calls us to this test of faith every time change happens in our life. In fact, all change is stressful, even if it's good change. And God walks with us in that change, in that stress. And he is really the one that says to us, hey, just trust me. Yes, this is a test of your faith. Yes, this is a test in your belief of who I am, why I came to this planet, and why I died on the cross and resurrected. Peter's on it. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith. To test your faith as a fiery test on how genuine, how gold your inner being is. Right? It's like taking gold ore and putting it over a fire. All the impurities rise to the top, and those are skimmed off. And have you noticed that the challenge and change in life kind of skims off in your life? Yeah. We've experienced enough that we know that the trouble, the change, the difficulty in life, it does make us better. It does refocus us. It does develop us and develop our relationship with Jesus Christ. So what do we do when we're all stressed out? What do we do when we're despairing, depressed? What do we do? Number one, I would encourage you, and I think this has happened over the last several years, that you invest more time with God. Now, most everybody has some time when they pray and they connect with God, and here's what I've seen happen in other people's lives as well as my own life. The COVID time has turned my time with God more and more into a conversation with Him. Why? Because there are way more moments of challenge in this change, and I got to keep checking in with Him. Gee, Lord, my attitude's not very good. All right, help me with my attitude. Help me in my interactions with other people. Help me with the fact that I feel lousy and I can't go anywhere and do what I really like to do. It's our scripture passage, Isaiah 40. Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God and He creates everything on earth? And He never grows tired or weary. Instead, He gives strength to those who are weary and worn out because of the change, the tough change in the world and in our own life. Instead, He gives strength to those who are weary and worn out, and He gives power to the weak. Even young people, high school students, become exhausted and want to give up. But those who trust and wait on the Lord will find new strength, flying higher like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll keep going and not be faint. Yeah, we've faded. It's true. COVID has caused us to be a little faint-hearted and to fade. And now is the moment to declare that to the Lord and allow Him to strengthen you. As I said about 9 months ago, man, we got to get back out there. The world needs us. Because we are representing Christ, which they need not only now, but they need Him ultimately. I probably don't have to convince you that things are bankrupt right now. And the only counter to that are the riches of Christ. The riches of us loving and serving beyond what is comfortable and easy for us. Number two, we need a divine perspective on it all. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, just ask God for it. God is generous, and He'll gladly tell you what you need. I think that's why our time with God has become more of a conversation in the last several years. Why? Because literally it changes by the day. Oh, for sure by the week or the month, but literally in the day, in a moment. And we need a divine perspective that reminds us that, no, God is in control. And that God loves us and He's for us and not against us. And we will make a way with our good shepherd ahead of us. To see things from an eternal perspective over and above the anxiety of the moment. Yeah, that's really helpful. And what does God say to us over and over and over again in His Word? Don't worry, I got you. I got your back. Your life is in My hands because you're one of My forever family. You're My kids. And if you think an earthly father can do really great things, well, you'll see that I can do even greater things for you. And one of the greatest things He can do is give us strength when we're perplexed, give us perspective when we're perplexed. We need to ask, as we ask for perspective, Lord, what is it that You want us to learn? I'm like you. When bad stuff comes my way, my first prayer is, God, why me? Why me? Again? Again? And an eternal perspective, understanding God's love, plan, and purpose in our life is really, okay, Lord, what do You want me to learn from this? I've learned, Paul says, the secret of being content in any and all situations, even 2 years of lockdown and overreach of COVID-19. Were we content? Are we content? I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. It's supernatural at times. Because that's what we need. More than just human power and human effort, we need divine intervention. And the great thing is He's always listening, He's always caring, and He's always ready to act. Keep trusting Him. A righteous person does not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what might happen, for they know in their mind and heart that God will take care of them. Wow. That's this meal. Why do we trust God? Why do we look to God? Why do we know that His path for us is the best path? How do we know all that? Because of what Christ said. He gathered the disciples on that night. And remember, Judas was at the table. He took the bread and broke it, and He said, "This is My body broken for you." No, the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying. And it did bring a sober moment to what was the mood at the table. And then they were even more questioning and wondering when He poured out the the wine in the cup. This is grape juice, by the way. And said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." Paul said that whenever we eat the bread and drink the cup, we should remember Jesus. We should remember our relationship with him. God does have a divine power for us. He does have a path for us that even helps us to get through the change and the challenge and the difficulty of life. And it's true, this table is for anyone who really trusts in Jesus, that has asked him to be the leader of their life. And when we're engaged in, I'll call it the battle of life, the challenge of life, man, it's great to have a leader. Someone who can say this way, forward this way. Whatever it is right now that is a challenge of change for you, wherever it is in your life where you could use some out-of-this-world perspective and power, I would encourage you to pray that before you come and take communion. Where is it that God could be your good shepherd? Where is it in life that God could be a divine help to you, a practical help to you?